Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Throws an arcing pass upfield. Reggie Tom Fears gathers it in on the dead run and races all the way to score for Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
He sees a whole burst through it. 20.
Right, steps a tackle. Runs left. 25 still on his feet. 46-yard goal by number 39.
Running back, number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek Ciappala and Michael Stewart.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio. This is Derek Ciappala with my co-host, my partner in crime, the man, the myth, the legend, former Los Angeles Rams offensive back, Michael Stewart. It is the preview show. Just a couple days away now. Rams, Bucks, and Tampa Bay divisional playoff. Mike, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing really good, DC. Just ready to get into this preview, talk about our vaunted Rams and see how they set up against these Tampa Bay Tom Brady Buccaneers.
These Tom Brady Buccaneers. Now, for years, the Rams couldn't beat Tom Brady, but the last two meetings they have, albeit in the regular season, we're going to talk with J.C. Allen from the Pewter Report tonight. Want to get his thoughts on it because this is a big one. Big one. This is for all the marbles for the Rams right now. Every game out is for all the marbles. How confident are you hanging this one, Mike?
Well, you know, the thing is, you're confident to a degree that they got through first round. They know what's at stake, so there's not a whole lot to prepare or not prepare for. They know what they have to do. The only thing, they got to go into the Lions Den out there in Tampa. So I noticed on the injury report, Tom Brady got some rest days. So we'll see what that means. But at the same time, I think as long as guys show up and you just don't have a bunch of turnovers, that should be one of the better games that we've seen this playoff season.
Well, he got beat up is what happened. I mean, let's be that. He got beat up his last couple of games.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, the Bucs are hurting. Now, the Rams had their injuries as well, but the Bucs are hurting. They're not the same team that they were when we met them early in the year, when we saw the Rams play the Bucs in week three. We're going to talk about that with J.C. Allen. Meanwhile, on the Rams front injury report out today, here we go. On the injury report, Andrew Whitworth with his knee out. Did not play the last 2 days. I guess that's a big one, isn't it? Whitworth.
Yeah.
And then you have Troy Reader on the list. He's limited this week with his ankle. Let's see what else are on the list here. Taylor Rapp, concussion. Two straight DMP, so he's not out of protocol yet. Buddy Howell, his hamstring did not play. Brandon Powell, our beloved new returner. Love this guy, man. Limited. And Ben Skowronek with his back also limited. That's, man, it's not too bad. It could be worse. It could be the Tampa Bay injury list, which is much longer. Much, much longer. Going down real quick, Shaq Barrett with his knee did play. He's full this week. Giovanni Bernard limited with his running back. Tom Brady rest, as you mentioned. Levante David, linebacker, limited. Mike Edwards, safety, full with his elbow. Cyril Grayson, wide receiver, a DNP with his hamstring. Ryan Jensen, center, DNP. Ronald Jones, running back. These are guys we know now, DNP. Steve McClellan, nose tackle, rest. Sean Murphy, birding, cornerback. This is, by the way, on Thursday night, limited. And Breshad Perriman, DNP with his hip abdomen. Jason Pierre-Paul. I'm a mess tonight, man. Mess. DNP and Josh Wells, tackle, limited. Tristan Wirfs, tackle, DNP. That's a lot of stuff. They're banged up. The Rams aren't as bad, I would say. They still, they miss Taylor Rapp. They miss Andrew Whitworth. Let's see how that goes. Pressers coming out today. Check those real quick as well. Overall, what's your view of this injury report from what we're seeing?
Yeah, when you just look at it, like, okay, how's Tampa Bay going to field a team? Because most of these guys actually play for them. Like, do not practice. That means, yeah, you're going to be limited now to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which we know Thursday's typically, you know, somewhat of a full day. But Friday, definitely helmets. Saturday, walk through, play game on Sunday. So I guess they may be figuring, hey, we need to just kind of rest these guys up and go play a game. Maybe we're not going to get in much more shape, but you're talking now about timing. So, you know, a big one is, you know, the Tom Brady thing, but, you know, that dude's a veteran. He'll be ready to go. But I like the fact that, you know, our list is really small considering. But most of it was just limited participation, which means you're just kind of out there maybe running around, not so much full go. So you can somewhat keep the rhythm of your defense, the rhythm of your offense going. So, like I said, I think this is going to be one of the better playoff games on Sunday.
I think it will, too. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I like that it's on Sunday afternoon. It's kind of like getting towards the end of the weekend. It's going to be fun. I'm reasonably confident the Rams to win this. I'm not as afraid of the Buccaneers as say I would be concerned with, say, the Packers, the Niners, or the Buffalo Bills. I mentioned that before. I also think the Rams have a lot of momentum going for them. Just take out that one bad half against the 49ers. They've been pretty good. I like how certain players are emerging, too, and they're finally seeing to have an identity, which is grounded in the running game. Do you believe they can run on this Bucs team? Do you think they can move like they did the Cardinals on the ground?
Absolutely. I think if they just stick with it. I think what happened so much earlier, they just weren't willing, you know, Coach McVay, whoever's calling plays, just wasn't as willing to just stick with the run. But, you know, anyone who has any football history knows that you better be able to run the ball in December and January, and you need to take some minutes off the clock, wear that other team down. But I'm confident if they stick with the run, we can see a lot more of what happened last week.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Ernest Jones came off the injured list here. And according from Jordan Rodriguez, per Aaron Donald, Ernest Jones looked good in return to practice. So wait and see who's cleared to play, but that would be a nice boost. Ernest Jones was playing very, very well. Very well before he went out. So that's what they needed. That's what they needed. That guy in the middle who was making moves? Oh, man.
Right.
Huge boost. Other than that, I'm not seeing anything on Whitworth right now. I'm not seeing anything in terms of updating his status. We know that. They're waiting to see what's going on with him. I think offensively, here's what's concerning me. It was 140 yards on the ground against the Cardinals, who were 20th in the league against the rush. They average less than 4 yards carry. I'm concerned a little bit there. Like, all that effort they put in, they weren't getting 4 yards carry. What makes you so confident that they'll be fine?
Well, a couple things. Weather. They're playing on a good field in Tampa Bay. So the turf should be great for a running day. And just this time of the year, you know, I was a little bit hesitant and somewhat surprised at how well Cam Akers ran based on having an Achilles tear. That to me is like, yeah, he doesn't look like he really has any, as we would say, ring rust. We've seen what our other running back came from New England, has done all year. Sonny Michel just been solid. Sony Michel has been solid all season. And so now I think you have a legitimate 1-2 punch. And, you know, we definitely saw with the running game, the passing game was a lot more effective, to your point on the Sunday podcast, that it was like, you know, our quarterback was able to not have to force things. You know, Stafford wasn't trying to just make all the plays. He was letting the game literally come to him. He was taking what was open, and it showed a huge difference. So I'm anticipating that if you're going to say stick with what you did, well, yeah, stick with what you did as far as take what the game gives you, make the adjustments as it comes up. But if you stick with the running game, that just opens up a lot of your total offense.
Now, do you think that the addition to Cam Akers also just to something for the offensive line? I mean, take us a little bit inside baseball and inside football. How does an offensive line view a healthy running back situation? Like, when they see, hey, I got Cam Akers back there and I got Sony Michel, we got two guys we can bruise for him. How are they feeling when they're going out and trying to make magic happen?
Well, I think if you ask any lineman, the higher you go, especially, they're going to want to be a run first type of offensive lineman. It's just easier to run block than somewhat to pass block, because now you have the defense more on their heels because you're coming downhill at them. But when they know you're in obvious passing downs, well, now you got to get back and set up. Those guys running different stunts and things like that. Backers maybe blitzing. And if someone, you know, misses a call or doesn't pick up this, then you got a guy running wide open. Now you're giving up sacks. So when you have a guy like Cam Akers, he doesn't need a whole lot. So with the speed, his ability to be, you know, a smaller, slithier back, if that's, you know, slithering through there, if you will, they know they don't have to, you know, if you have a big dominant guy, like their nose tackle's a huge guy for them. Yeah, you don't need to try to drive that guy. That's not going to happen. But you can turn him and get on a side, and now your running back can make him miss, do the work if you're especially running in between a guard and a tackle area. So for a lineman, yeah, they get excited that they get the run block, tee off on the defense, and then the back, again, doesn't need a whole lot. Now we got a 6 yards. We're sitting short and sweet. Let's run it again, you know. And so, again, that's why I anticipate this is probably going to be one of the better games. And, you know, history has shown if they can get up on top, that just changes the game a whole lot.
You know, I made a mistake, too, in our last show, and I did not really talk about this enough. And that was Cam Akers. I'm going to be honest, and I'm at this point, we're a few days past that game, so I'm probably rehashing something someone's already said, and that is, holy crap, man, did he look good. Especially in the open field. He had a couple good runs called back that really shouldn't have been. I'm like, oh, man, yeah, seriously? Yeah. Like, you can see why right away they're talking about getting him back for the playoffs, getting him back. Focus on him much more early in the game. As much as I love Sony Michel, and I hope they resign and keep him with the team, I mean, even after being gone for 5.5 months with a torn Achilles, you can see the difference in what they bring to the table. Michelle's the bruiser, but man, the skill, the speed, man, Cam looked great. He did game change. He's a big game changer for them right now. He changes everything about that offense. I guess blew me away. I mean, it's essentially, in my view, a miracle. When you tear an Achilles, remember when Kobe came back from his torn Achilles? He was never the same. And the same surgeon worked on him. I know the age is probably a factor, but Cam looks phenomenal.
Right, right. And so, again, when I'm watching him run, again, I was, you know, talking to one of my older sons, and we were going back and forth, and I go, hey, man, this, oh, Dad, wait, you know, they just need to put Cam Akers in. And I'm going, look, son, this guy's coming off a torn Achilles. Yeah, he's not running like that. And then to see him, like, running like that, it's like, okay, they definitely have some different type of surgery techniques because, again, the first person I thought of was Kobe Bryant, and you're just running in a shorter space, you know, on a basketball court. You know what I mean? You're not trying to dodge and dip people, but man, he was making tip and dropping his shoulder, getting outside, getting inside. And so running with a lot of speed and confidence. And again, you're talking about a guy coming off an injury, which means take your hats off to whoever, all the rehab, from the doctor to everything. And then some guys are just blessed with the Lord's ability to heal them faster than others. But you would never know that this guy had an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
And had surgery. You know what I mean? That's just unheard of from the Achilles injuries. You know, again, play with Dan Moreno. He was like barely walking around, and he was a quarterback.
I forgot about that. He had that injury. Yeah. You watched it firsthand.
So, man. So to see a running back running like he was and with authority, and again, I'm looking at the speed of it all. You know, he wasn't hesitant of cutting. He wasn't hesitant to drop his shoulder. And again, running with a lot of authority. And again, the speed factor just was really eye-opening to me. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty interesting. For a guy to be back that fast in this short time. Yeah.
No nerves. And you know, I was mentioning earlier that they didn't average 4 yards carry. There was one holding call that I just felt was stupid, a bad call. And that was one of his long runs they brought back. And I think there were two of them like that.
Oh, you mean when the guy just fell down?
Inhale? So, yeah. Was it Corbett or was it Edwards? I forget who it was. But he was running to the left, off guard there. And you see the two linemen engaged. And as Akers passes, you see the defender lean and our guy lean. Right. And there's that moment where they're grabbing, but like it's a moment thing. It's not like it wasn't like our guy was driving their dude into the ground. It wasn't like he was had this big massive thing of jersey and was holding him up. Both linemen were going towards Akers, so it seemed like a really weak call, especially since we see, you know, our boy Aaron Donald basically get molested every week on the field.
Oh my goodness. It's just ridiculous.
It's night and day. What we see Donald deal with in that ticky-tack holding call, I mean, there were a couple of those in the game, including a couple of the Rams got away with, don't get me wrong. But my point is, it was kind of a ridiculous holding call. Like, we've seen much worse, so now's the time you decide you want to call holding, really. Honestly. Than a play where Akers had them beat anyways. He wasn't going to grab him.
Right, right. And again, you know, when some of these plays are happening, again, like, it's... Now, we can all see a holding call, but the letter of the law, you could literally call holding every play if you wanted to, just because of the way guys are, you know, grabbing in those trenches. But again, when you look at Aaron Donald, who's truly getting held. I mean, they're pulling shirts, you know, he's by guys and they're pulling back. No holding call, no harm, no foul. And then you see these kind of other penalties that, no, man, that guy fell down. No, man, that dude is, he just can't get through. So how is that holding? So it's just tough. And again, the officials, they're human like us. I know they're out there trying to do their best job. It's just, I don't know. It's just like the consistency is not there with all these guys this offseason. So I don't know if the COVID messed them up too.
Who, the officials?
Yeah, it just seemed like the consistency isn't there.
I think this, I remember way back, this is the Rams Super Bowl year in 2001. I remember that year complaining all year about the official. I thought it was awful all year. That was the worst I'd seen. And this is the first time since then I have sat back and gone, oh my gosh, this year's been worse. This year's been awful for calls. And there's no better team to look at than the rival 49ers. You can go back and look at our film from the Rams, the last game against the Rams. They were holding every flipping play, not getting called for it. Every flipping play. Yeah, in this last game with the Cardinals, I counted two blocks in the back to back. They didn't call it. I mean, it's frustrating to see. It was frustrating with McVay having to use two challenges in the first half of our last game,
right?
The Rams last game. And to me, they're both, you know, at least the first one was an obvious call, and I'm sitting there wondering. With the second one, the touchdown line, the 1 yard touchdown from Stafford, how on earth they didn't see that either? That's when you have guys stationed on both sides of the end zone line to see that, and yet you didn't see it. You have to use a camera thing of them going over top. Me and Tommy, the umpire there, couldn't see either. Nobody could see it. Not the side judge. Not your umpire. What are you doing? It's just been that kind of year. And also, well, there's something to say, not the usual crews, but you know your job, right? If you're breaking crews up and trying to match the best up, then it's not working. Because we seem to complain more every year in the playoffs about efficiency than we do during the regular season.
Right.
I just want to point that out.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, again, they're human. You know, I've played the game. Coach game, had to deal with officials, and I'd always tell them, hey, guys, hey, do you know, go out there, give it your best. I'm not going to be over here going crazy. I know you're going to miss some. Oh, coach, man, we really appreciate that. Okay, fine. Just be consistent. If you call and hold in ticky-tack, we'll just call it both ways, all game ticky-tack.
Mm-hmm.
Don't start doing the one-sided thing. Then it's like, hey, man, this is unacceptable. It's no way we could only be holding and them not. And so just be consistent. That's all I ask.
And that's all we ever really ask is we want consistency. We don't really ever get it, unfortunately. Who's ever consistent anymore? Honestly, who's ever consistent? So, I mean, this game especially, you know, we've already seen, like, what? Is it one crew? The Bogers crew's done, right? Bogers crew is already – the NFL already said they're done for the postseason.
Yeah, they're done. Like, they're on early vacation.
And my question was, what was Booger even doing refereeing a game? Are they serious? This guy's one of the worst in the league. Everybody knows it.
He's not one of the worst in the league, is he?
Yeah, he is. In my view, he is. Every single time. You know how many different Rams games we've watched him referee? And it's almost a given his crew botches a bunch up. Not even one thing up. He doesn't control his games at all. So the moment I saw Jerome Booger as our guy, I'm like, oh, great. Great. That's the biggest complaint I have about him. He doesn't control the game at all. Did it surprise me to see Aaron Donald getting fired up and getting himself in trouble in the game? No, because these referees don't control that. Booger is... These guys are supposed to be the law, right? Yes. Well, they're the law, right? They don't know their their butt from their head sometimes. I know I sound like a fan right now, but just NFL officiating needs to be overhauled hardcore. There seems to be no accountability whatsoever, none, and you wonder why mistakes happen in the playoffs. Do they ever pay any price for their botches?
Well, the interesting thing is, again, it's like anything. If you want to get like the cream of the crop or people that really are going to take a serious... Now, I get it. Most of these guys are very professional, have very good jobs, lawyers, all kinds of things. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, if you make the pay equivalent to like, yeah, man, this is a serious profession, you actually can get some nice little bonuses or whatever. You're going to bring to the table people that are more, to me, just going to take it more seriously. And not that these guys aren't, because, again, to get to the NFL officiating ranks, you have to be doing something to get there. You just don't say, oh, I'm going to be an NFL official. And they go, okay, come on in. And that's it. No. You got to work high school, college, JC sometime and on up until you can prove and, you know, go on and get in there. But again, I just would like to see more officiating. I think that a lot of this, you know, they have the officiating crews that are there on site to review plays. And now they got New York to review plays. You know, and maybe that's taken away from it because, yeah, if you put everything through review and slow motion, yeah, you can see what actually can happen. But a lot of stuff we get to see in slow motion, you can't tell what that's happening in real time. You know what I mean? So as long as replay is in there to that point, yeah, sometimes it's going to make an official look worse than possibly he is. But if you're going to use replay, the thing that saddens me about that is they show the replay and we go, well, wait a minute. How can they not change that call? Like, clearly he's.
My first question usually is how did they miss that? How on earth did they miss that?
Yeah. And you're looking at a replay. How do you say, oh, no, man, he's clearly out of bounds. Clearly. Yeah. So. Those are the things that I just kind of like, wow, I don't know how you do that if clear you can see. So, yeah.
Yeah. This is where it is. I think the most frustrating thing for me when it comes down to the NFL officiating right now is the inconsistency. But you just said something that I want to kind of bring it back before we bring JC on. Apparently he's having a little bit of trouble with his AC. We have a hard time about that when we see him. Tell me this. How well are officials paid from what you remember?
I think they made, you know, I don't know, $100,000. They were decently paid, you know, but I figure, you know, I just always remember kind of Ed Hockules as one of them, you know, lawyer guy. Like, what would make him go officiating if it wasn't worth it? You know, some guys just like being around the game. But I'm thinking those guys are making, you know, $100,000.
But I'm just sitting there thinking, if it is $100,000, and if someone knows, please email us and let us know what the actual rate is. $100,000 a year is pretty solid for what? 5-6 hours of work on the weekend?
Well, I'm going to stand myself and correct myself. I actually looked it up. And 219, it was 205 a year.
205K a year?
Yeah.
At 205K a year to work 16 games plus preseason, postseason, you better be freaking good at your job.
Yeah, yeah.
Legit, 205 a year. Oh, my gosh. I'm salty now, man. I am salty.
So,
legit, 205 a year.
Legit. That was 219. Average salary for NFL referee was set at 205. It was an increase of 56,000 from the previous year. So, again, if you take off the 56, you know, guys are making 150K. That's still good money. So I guess I need to go start going into the NFL ranks.
You know, maybe that's the next career for you.
You maybe
leave the field. Leave Why not, Mike? Honestly, why not?
Yeah.
You don't think you do better than with the knuckleheads we have out there now?
Well, I know I would take it very serious. The time I umped in high school in the summers and stuff, you know, me and my partner in crime, Coach Little John, now at Bakersfield Junior College, man, we had mostly all the parents and coaches wanting us to ref their officiate their games because we as high school graduating seniors took it seriously, showed up on time, you know, ran around, made sure, you know, guys were on and off the field. We didn't take any stuff. We weren't, you know, so I know that I would take it seriously and make sure that, you know, you get yourself into position. How many times do you look on a game or see a game and you see a ref out of position because he's kind of loafing to get where he's supposed to be? That's half the battle, is being able to get in a position to make a good call. That's half the battle. But if you can't really get there, or you're not really, you're trying to make a call from way over there, that's where it's a problem. You know, how many times you see an official standing right there, not make the call, and some guy across the field chucks a flag, and you go, wait a minute, how can he see it? He's way over there. The guy is right there. How did he not see
it? I mean, we saw that last weekend. And it didn't work out well. All right. All of our whining and complaining aside, let's bring in JC out for the Pewter Report and talk with him about the Buccaneers. One moment here.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, folks, here we are. J.C. Allen from the Pewter Report. J.C., how you doing?
Doing great, guys. Happy to be here to discuss this matchup. Obviously, a rematch. We're running it back. I figured we might be speaking again the way these two teams look in the beginning of the season. And here we are. And now it's for a trip to the NFC Championship game. So really excited for this weekend's matchup against two really evenly matched teams, and I think two of the most talented teams in the league.
So we have with me here Mike Stewart from our team here. He's a former LA Rams defensive back, played the Bucs enough in his days that both teams weren't exactly great for much of that. But I guess I'll start first. JC, looking at this matchup, looking at where these teams played early in the year, 34-24 Rams win. How are the Bucs different now from when we last saw them?
You know, When they first started the season, it's obviously there's all the hype because you're the returning Super Bowl champs. You bring back 22 started, the entire, you know, your special teams. Everyone's back together. And quickly, it started to unravel in the injury front. You know, you look at that first game, you lose Sean Murphy Bunting. In that game, you didn't have Antonio Brown. You lost Jamel Dean was in it. You lost Carlton Davis. You were down to your number 4 and 5 cornerbacks in that game. And it was still tied right before halftime, before the Rams scored twice. So, you know, I think injuries has played a huge part into the, in this Bucks team this year, the adversity that had to come through, the next man up mentality, the, you know, just the ability for them to grind through anything that's come up, whether it was the Antonio Brown situation, whether it's been injuries that they've had to overcome with. So I think this team's just really resilient, and they know how to win. They know how to get it done when it matters most, and that's heading to the playoffs. So, you know, their identity, usually teams have an identity. Obviously, you know, are you a running team? Do you rely on your defense? Do you rely on your passing game? And I think the Bucks are still trying to really hone in what their identity is going to be in this playoff run. Obviously, they're one of the best passing leagues in the teams in the league. They're really good on defense, as you saw last week, finally starting to get all their pieces back. And, you know, running the ball, Leonard Fournette comes back. So I think what's different about this team the most is just the mental toughness, the mental attitude that they have going into these games and these matchups, that they know no matter what happens in a game, no matter who goes out, you know, Tristan Wirfs, your all-pro right tackles out, Josh Wells steps in and plays a heck of a game. So no matter what happens, you've got guys you can depend on. So I think that's one of the biggest things, that they just, the trust in that they have with each other.
JC Michael Stewart, man, good to have you on, sir. Good to have you on. Had a quick question. I saw a quote from Big Tom Brady in regards to talking to some of the reporters and, I guess, pregame things for this week. But they were asking him about, hey, you know, you guys played the Rams earlier in the year. What's it going to be like? And his response basically was, well, you know, that was in September. You know, we're a different team. It's all about, he says, it's really about this game and what we've learned from last game. What do you make of that as far as him and the leadership, and what do you see as the difference from the earlier team in September and the team that's now in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, that's typical. That's your typical Tom Brady answer, right? We're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah,
so right. He learned from the best, but it's right too. These are two different teams. I mean, obviously Bobby Woods isn't there. Von Miller is there now. There's Tom Brady always says, and it's so true, you know, that first month that, you know, you're really starting to find out your team, even though they brought everybody back, you're finding what you're good at, what you're not good at, what you can accomplish, what you can't. And remember, you know, the Bucks are Super Bowl champs. It's the Super Bowl for everybody. Everyone wants to say they knocked off the Bucks. You know, even if you're a Washington team or a Jets team, yeah, well, we knocked off the Super Bowl champs. You know, it's something to build upon. So, they're getting everybody's best shot, but you know, that's kind of what Tom preaches is, you know, it's every game is a different individual game. Doesn't matter. Speaking with them week 18, he had just played the Carolina Panthers week 16 and was playing them again. I said, so what's there? He's like, nothing's different. Still watching tape, still studying them. I'm like, you just played them two weeks ago. What much can be different on the film? But that's just who Tom is. You know, he's going to study his opponent. And study what they did one game in between the last game, just to see if you can get a competitive edge. So, you know, the Rams have evolved as a team, as have the Bucks, and as have every team kind of in the playoffs. I mean, the Bucks' latest opponent, the Eagles, they are horrid at running. They had people in the stands saying run with signs saying run the ball, and they ended up finishing as the number one rushing team in the league. So, week three is such a long time ago at this point that. So just rest on your laurels of what you remember from week three and not do your due diligence to put the work in to grind the tape out to see where I can get an advantage. It's funny, Tom was talking today in part of that press conference that you're referencing that this isn't the time to go to the movies. This isn't the time to sit back and kick your feet. This is, you know, if your focus, sole focus isn't on this football game and how you can find an edge and how you can find a way to win, then I don't know what you're doing in the playoffs right now. So that's just Tom. I mean, he's the greatest of all time in NFL history, not just in a quarterback for a reason, and that's part of it.
I'm going to kick it back to DC, but I wanted to touch on that real quick. Whether you like TB or Tom Brady, whatever you want to call him, the GOAT, whatever, or not, I love the fact that he recognizes, as great as he's been, as long as it is the money he's made, hey, guys, in order to actually win the big one, you have to stay focused to the end. That's some true leadership. DC, what you got?
I'm bringing it back closer to the matchup itself.
You mentioned Leonard Fournette, and I also saw that Ronald Jones is on the injury list as well. What is the status for the Bucs running backs overall?
I think Leonard Fournette has a really good chance to go this week. Obviously, you know, he was one of the guys that could have been a game time decision. Didn't even get activated off IR. We'll know Saturday at 4 o'clock whether he's going to be activated and even have a chance to play. He looked good warming up this week at practice so far. Granted, yesterday was a walkthrough, but today he looked pretty good. Rojo was out there running today, but he's been running for the past week. And he just hasn't been able to cut, so we'll see. I think Keyshawn Vaughn and Giovanni Bernard stepped up real big last week, and I think that's something that if Fournette can't go, that you rely on those guys. But at this point in time, I think Fournette should be ready to go, and that's a huge boost for multiple reasons. Not just him as a running back, and we know, you know, the Rams are sixth overall in the NFL, or finished sixth overall in the NFL in run defense, and they've got some real big boys up front that can not only get to the quarterback but stop the run. But his passing, you know, pass blocking prowess, you know, if you know, obviously we might be dealing with injuries here on the Tampa Bay side with Tristan Wirfs, Ryan Jensen, even Josh Wells, their backup right tackle, is a little banged up. So having a guy like Leonard Fournette to lean on and rely on in pass protection is huge because he's really picked that part up of his game up this year. And then and catching balls out of the backfield. I mean, how many times have you seen, you know, Brady dump off the backs? And that's been Leonard Fournette. At one time, he was the third. He had the third most catches on the team behind Godwin and Mike Evans. So he's been, you know, we haven't got a playoff Lenny yet. But if he comes back, I think that's exactly what the Bucs are going to need is that type of playmaker, especially with, you know, the Rams linebacking core, which is, you know, it's adequate, but I don't think it's anything to write home about. And their safeties dealing with injuries as well. You know, you get some of those matchups that you might be able to exploit with Lenny, and I think that's what you do, especially when they play zone. Now, I know they play a different style of zone. It's like a man zone hybrid type deal. And Brady was talking about that too, how they play zone, but they play man concepts in the zone. So, but if you get some nice, you know, if you can get some dump offs for Lenny for 6 yards and, you know, treat that as an extension of the running game, you know, that's what you got to do. So it starts with him. And if he can't go, it's going to be Vaughn and Bernard, and they'll be able to do some of that, but not to the level Lenny is capable of.
Mike?
JC, man, quick question. I remember playing in the stadium, you know, many years ago. But what I remember most was
it being empty.
No. It still has some people there. But the visiting and really the home team sideline was very close to the stands. Is it still like that?
Yeah, it's pretty close. I mean, I wouldn't say it's, you know, any further or closer than normal stadiums. I haven't been to, you know, a large number of stadiums, but it's got some good proximity to where the players will be. It's probably about 10 feet, 10 yards, maybe something like that. 5 yards somewhere in between 5 and 10 yards. So, yeah.
Now, obviously, you know, the Rams will be coming out there to play them. What do you make of home field advantage and crowd noise?
You know, I think it's going to be, I think that's going to play a little bit in the Bucs' favor. This will be the second home game matchup for the Buccaneers since 2007. Unless you count the Super Bowl, but I really don't. So the stadium was rocking last week. I think they can be louder, calling Bucs fans out. I think they can be a little bit louder. But when you get such a big lead on an opponent, you know, it's like now, you know, your attention's not completely on the game and not getting as loud as you can. But I think that's going to play a part. And travel. I think travel, too. There's, you know, as an athlete, as a pro football player, you know, I mean, you get used to the travel. You're doing it since college. And, you know, you get used to being, you know, moving from cross country. It still sucks, but you're used to it to an extent, the time zone shift and everything like that. But the biggest thing, I think, especially for playoff games and matches, why it's such a big deal is because if you're the home team, you're able to have those extra days where you're at the facility. You know, you're not traveling on a Saturday. You're at the facility getting that treatment, making sure you're the best you can be to go in that game. You know, you're sleeping in your own bed. So I think those things play a small part. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, because you actually did it, but I think those play a part of it too, as well as a home crowd.
No, absolutely. That's a huge advantage. You can stay after a little walkthrough practice, get extra treatment, go sit in the sauna, you know, go to your favorite restaurant, go relax, you know where you got to be, you know what time, streets and all that stuff. So absolutely, you know, it definitely plays a positive role in you being at in your home stadium and just around, you know, kind of your similar routine. Obviously when you travel, and I can imagine what it's like now, you just don't know. Sometimes the plane is held up. They got to get a different crew. So those kind of things throw you off. So when you think you're going to get extra sleep, you find out, man, you're on short rest and you got to keep it going. So, Derek, I'm gonna throw it back to you.
Yeah. I mean, the road matchup, I would rather be in LA like anybody else who's, you know, it didn't happen that way, but I still like the fact it's warm weather. They're not going to Green Bay. I'll take that. Just want to point that out. No one's going to Green Bay except for the 49ers, so be happy with that.
Yeah. But the 49ers do surprisingly well out there. So, I mean, it's that's a game that I haven't officially – I mean, I know Jimmy G's dealing with stuff, but, you know, that's not a game that I've completely written off that L.A.'s not going to have a home NFC championship or the Bucs. So, I don't know what you guys think.
Oh, no, I think that – that, you know, here's the thing. The Rams are built to be beaten by the Niners. So we've seen a lot of Rams losses recently with the Niners. But everybody knows what they're going to do. They're just going to run. They're going to bully you up front. They're going to bully you some more and then bully you some more. That's what they do. They don't do anything that you can't figure out. The Packers are a good matchup for them on that. The Packers do a lot of the same stuff. They have a lot of the same things going on with them. So I think the Niners have a good chance of beating them. But if there's one team that's going to really give them problems, even give the Packers problems, Niners and the Niners-Packers, I think that's going to be a very interesting game to watch on Saturday. And no matter what, I think, I hate to say it, man, Mike, just smack me now. I kind of have to root for the Niners on this one, dude.
The Niners?
I have to. Like, you have a chance at a home game. Either way, I mean, JC, you got to be with, no matter our result here, right? The Bucks want this home game too, man. The Rams want a home game. They're going to win. I want the Niners to win. I'll take my chances there because I don't want to go to Green Bay. I just want to point that out.
I wanted to ask JC something real quick, and this is maybe not the proverbial elephant in the room. The elephant is out of the room, being Antonio Brown. Yeah. What is it, or what have you heard is in regards to how are players, like, what side of the fence are they on or were on? Or are they like, hey, man, we kind of glad to know he's gone? Yeah. Or do they figure like, hey, man, the dude just had some issues? You know, was there any truth to, you know, they knew he was hurt and he was trying to go, and then, you know, was it about Gronk getting more catches, or, you know, what have you kind of heard on in the streets, as they say?
You know, a little bit of all of that. I mean, I spoke to a few players, and no one's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm glad he's gone. But I mean, one of them was like, that's just, I'm like, what happened with AB? That's just AB being AB. So it's like, oh, so, I mean, I didn't, wasn't going to pry too much into it, but like, I mean, and this is a younger guy too on the team, defensive guy, and he's like, it's just AB being. So, like, have you seen this before, like, they're with the team? Or, like, are you just, like, you know, you've noticed, obviously, his track record around the league. But, you know, I think a lot of this stems from them not guaranteeing his incentives. I think he was really upset by the fact, you know, that he looked at what he's made. Obviously, in that podcast he did, I think it was a Full Send podcast, he's like, Gronk is boy. You know, why is AB playing on a meager or eager salary, whatever, earnest salary, whatever he said. So I think that was part of it. And then the funny thing is he had 3 catches for 21 yards, was targeted 5 times in that first half. And then Gronk was targeted 6 times. So it's not like he was like, Gronk was targeted 20 times and he was targeted 5. And it's like, what the heck? I want my incentives too. But, you know, I think I did hear that playoff, I mean, the halftime blow up did happen where he had to be calmed down because he was, you know, upset about catches. And then, you know, yeah, everyone's playing with injuries right now, right? I mean, you saw Antonio Brown. If you watch that game, I mean, I don't even want to call it a double move. I mean, Mike, you're a deep DB guy. So, I mean, you see what he did to Bryce Hall. I mean, he just did a triple move and knocked him on, got fell on his ass. So, I mean, you're able to do that. Then you're able to jump up and down and sprint off the field. And you're not in a boot or anything after this game. You're out there wearing tennis shoes, laced up nice and tight. It's a double sided. Do I think his ankle is really bothering him? Yes. Do I think it was bothering him enough where he couldn't play? No. Do I think he used it as an excuse and then had, oh, look at my MRI, look at this, whatever? Yes, I do. But, I mean, obviously, I'm not AB. I'm not of the team. I don't really know. I'm not anyone's in a circle to really know the extent of it. But it's Antonio Brown. And, unfortunately, he lost the benefit of the doubt about three teams ago. So, I don't know what to say about that. I will say this team rallied around. And if you really want a real, a tangible thing to look at, that how the Bucks felt and how maybe Brady felt and how Gronk, some of these guys – Brady went back into the game in week 18 just to make sure Gronk got his last catch for his 500K. And the crazy thing is, too, about this, and this is the last thing I'll say on AB. Last year, Ronald Jones was 21 yards away from getting his first 1,000-yard season ever as a running back in the league in his third year. Instead, they gave the ball to Antonio Brown to make sure he hit his incentives so that he could make more money. And Ronald Jones finished the year with 279 yards. So, I mean 979 yards, 21 shy from 1,000 yards. Also this year, Bruce Arians has been extremely careful and cautious on how he deals with player injuries this year. Gronk came back in week 9 because he wanted to come back in week 9. And as soon as he started getting back spasms, pulled him out. They kept out. Jamel Dean was out with a concussion. He came back to a game, started having illnesses, side effects to it, pulled him out, kept him out in an additional game. Carlton Davis, Sean Murphy Bunting, kept him down an additional week. Richard Sherman, you look at the guys. JPP sat the last three games so he could get healthier for the playoffs. Shaq Barrett probably could have went week 18, shut him down. Levante David made sure to shut him down. Leonard Fournette, he wasn't running full speed, but could he have probably gone out there and be a contributor last week? Yep. Shut him down and said no. Bruce Arians has done a tremendous job of taking care of his players for this playoff run, and I don't think he's going to do a 180 week, what was it, week 16, 15, whatever it was, just to attack AB personally. That's all I have. That's all I got to say about it.
No, I definitely agree. And I would back it up by saying, just looking at the Tampa Bay injury report, you got a lot of guys did not practice, aren't practicing, and I'm like, okay, they got a game on Sunday, so it's a testament to the
trust.
Yeah, that's like, you guys get, rest days, but so that's a testament to, again, the coach, their training staff of saying, we trust these guys to be ready on Sunday, DC.
Now, you mentioned that, though.
Tom Brady never wants to sit.
But you mentioned, AB. I'm glad you brought up AB because now you also have Chris Godwin out as well. So, looking at the Bucs receivers, I mean, this is not the same arsenal the Rams face in week 3, but it doesn't make them dangerous. I mean, again, they put 31 on Philly. They put 41 on Carolina. They're dangerous. So, where is this offense right now? What's making things go, and where are they weak?
That's a crazy thing because, yes, they lost Chris Godwin, they lost Antonio Brown, but if you look at the production and you look at the scoring, it hasn't slowed down. It's getting picked up by different people, whether that's Mike Evans this week, Gronk the last couple weeks, and just a mismatch of other characters. Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller, Rashad Perriman out of nowhere. It looks like John Brown might play this week. Just signed last week. Cyril Grayson from the practice squad out of nowhere has tuned Cam Brate. They've been getting different. Obviously, they've been out with their running backs the last three games. So they're just getting contributions from everywhere. And you got to credit that to the coaching staff and obviously the guy who's controlling the ball, and that's Tom Brady. Where they're necessarily weak, it's their second, third wide receiver. I mean, it depends on what the Rams try to run. Jalen Ramsey, shadowed Mike Evans last year, but didn't earlier this year. Do they move him in the slot? How do they incorporate that? What do they do to try to cover Gronk? It looks like Tyler Rapp had a setback today. and he didn't practice. You know, I know you got Eric Weddle, but I mean, come on, old man Weddle, let's see what he can do out there. But Gronk's such a mismatch. You know, he's such a mismatch. You get Leonard Fournette back, that's probably your third option. You're probably your first reads are, or your first options are probably Evans, Gronk, and Leonard Fournette, and then you sprinkle in some other guys. And to be fair, and also, you know, no offense to anyone else Brady has played with besides that 2007 Patriots team, you know, the combination of Gronk and Mike Evans is probably one of the best combinations he's ever played with. No disrespect to, you know, Troy Brown or Wes Welker or Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, any of those guys. But, I mean, Mike Evans is just a superior player, Hall of Fame player, when it's all said and done. So he's got two Hall of Fame assets out there, Leonard Fournette, hopefully, and then he's got a bunch of guys who are going to have to step up and make plays when they're called upon. One of the biggest things that makes Brady so successful is his ability to get the ball out quickly and find guys and just process information at just a lightning clip that he's getting the ball out last week at 2.17 seconds. Still got sacked four times, but was able to get the ball out at an incredible clip.
That's actually where I wanted to follow to mention. The reason why I asked about weaknesses, because I was thinking about the fact he got sacked four times. He took some hits last week, and that's what I'm really kind of wondering about. Where's that offensive line sitting right now?
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. So Ryan Jensen and Tristan Wirfs, obviously two guys got banged up with the ankle injuries last week. Tristan Wirfs went straight to the locker room, came back out, tested it, tried to win it for a series. Actually, it was probably one of the reasons why Brady got sacked on one of those third downs. But, I mean, Ryan Jensen's such an animal. He came out of the game, went to the blue tent, defensive series was on there, comes out just as the offense is about to go out there and finishes the game and does that at such an amazing rate. And just teasing Fletcher Cox all the time, the whole way. I mean, they came out, he was mic'd up for that game, and it's just some gold content. But if they both can go, then, I mean, I think Ryan Jensen's definitely going. The thing that worries me is Tristan Wirfs. He's your all-pro right tackle. Josh Wells is dealing with an injury. He's been limited in practice all week. He's still a decent backup, but he's not Tristan Wirfs, right? And if you're going on your second string tackle, even if Wirfs can go, he's not going to be 100%. He's got a high ankle sprain. 80%. Can 80% hold up to Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Leonard Floyd, whatever the combination they put over there and send? And if it's not him, if it is Josh Wells, how often are they trying to scheme over Aaron Donald to his side to cause some disruption? But I think that's where having a guy like Gronkowski is huge for this team, because, you know, he's a blocking tight end, you know, and he's just so dominant in the blocking game. And having Leonard Fournette back, if he can come back as that guy who can, you know, chip passes, and then just having exactly what I just mentioned with Tom Brady, being able to get the ball out at an amazing clip, you know, averaging 2.48 seconds to throw. It's his fastest time in the Next Generation Stats era. Only Ben Roethlisberger had a higher rate. And fortunately for Brady, because he's got such a high processor and he's able to make these quick throws, it really gives them, I don't want to say an advantage, but definitely it helps out that offense and what he's able to do. The Rams rank in the bottom third of the league on short passes in the middle. They've allowed the highest completion percentage, 80.2 in the NFL, ranked 28th in average gain allowed and 7.9 yards. On short passes to the left, right, and middle, the Rams have allowed at least the 68.2 completion percentage. And those are numbers that got to make Tom Brady happy. I mean, yes, they've definitely got, you know, a new guy over there who's going to try to wreak some havoc and offensive line issues. But they got Von Miller, but, you know, the Rams only got to Brady on 17.2% of his dropbacks. That was their third lowest of the season. Again, they got Von Miller, and there might be some O-line injuries, but, you know, he dissects defenses quickly and he gets the ball out quickly. He leads the league in quick passes. So 24 touchdowns on quick passes. No other team has allowed more passing yards and quick passes than the Rams. So, you know, it matches up kind of nicely on what he can do if there is, if the O-line is banged up to the point where they're really struggling out there. You know, him being able to get the ball out quick is an advantage, you know, on paper and on statistically against what the Rams have struggled with all season.
Definitely, man, all those points of X absolutely on par. If you were, you know, as you are, let's say outsider looking in, what would you say would be one or two keys if the Rams were going to try to come in and beat a Bucs team at home with Tom Brady, with those assets, you know, Mike Evans and Gronk, and, you know, you got our old guy in Dominican Sue bringing up, you know, holding down the defense and, you know, solid defense. And I just look at the coaches that are on the Bucs team. What do you think would be the one or two things or you could see if the Rams are going to pull this off, what do they need to do?
Well, they got to get consistent pressure and they got to muck it up and force Brady to hold the ball for a normal length of time, you know, like the league average length of time. They got to be able to, and that happens on the back end, right? So it's got, they've got to be able to, you know, cover the guys good enough and also get pressure to force some errors and force Brady to hold on to that ball so they can get some sacks. It's funny because the Rams are one of the least man coverage teams. They play a lot of zone and they rush forward, but they do a lot of stunts and blitzes with it. But they also play like a weird, like a man coverage type zone that, you know, they're going to have to be dialed in on that, right? They're going to on defense, they have to be dialed in and they have to play extremely smart and not let Brady pick you apart. Because remember, Brady had over 400 yards passing in that game. And again, I mean, a lot of people like to say, oh, the Rams won, but it was, you know, they only started to pull away in the second half. And it was part of it because they got the ball in the second half, you know, the deferring, they scored right before and they scored right after the half. And that really kind of pulled them away, but it was tied up until then. And then you lost a bunch of players on the defense. So, I mean, there's going to be different situations that they're going to be able to expose the Bucs. On offense, it starts with Cooper Kupp, right? And if the Bucs can't find an answer, which they have not been able to find an answer for Cooper Kupp in the last three meetings that they've had, I mean, you want to talk about production. Cooper Kupp's numbers from 2019, 9 catches, 121 yards, a touchdown. 2020, 11 catches, 145 yards, no touchdowns. 2021, 9 catches, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns. They have not been able to stop him at all. Cooper Kupp has, in 3 games versus the Bucs, has more yards than he does in 7 career games against the 49ers. And the only team that Kupp has more yardage against in his career are the Seattle Seahawks and Arizona Cardinals. He's played this, by the way, he's played the Seahawks 10 times. He's played the Cardinals 8 times. And those are the only teams that have more yards than that, that Kupp has more yards against than the Bucs. So that's a huge thing. You got to stop. I mean, you look no further than what the Cardinals are able to do, right? They bracket him with a safety. You know, they're able to really keep him in check. I mean, he finished with 5 catches, 61 yards, but 45 of those already came in the fourth quarter with the game already ready over. So Sean McVay is going to have to find a way to get Cooper Kupp and get him open. You know, if I'm the Bucs, you got to play 2-man, cover 1 robber. You got to cut Kupp. Coming forward and longer down in distances, you got to make sure you're bracketing him with a safety and not letting him beat you at all. That's just what you're going to do. You'll probably put Carlton Davis on Odell Beckham Jr. the whole time, and you're going to double cut, you know? Maybe you put Dean on Van Jefferson, I don't know, and David and White are going to be on Higby in the running backs.
Well, see, that's where I'm going to dispute with you a little bit, too. The Rams weren't going this game trying to throw the ball a lot. They only threw the ball 17 times. You know, they were focused on run. And when they saw that bracketed safety, that's when they're just pulling out OBJ and making him, you know, the guy, the target. So that's where the Rams, I think, have some advantages here in that, hey, their go-to guy is going to be Cooper Kupp, but hey, you got OBJ emerging, and you got 2 running backs in the backfield are making a difference.
Well, I mean, OBJ will work against Arizona because they don't have a cornerback of Carlton Davis's ilk or his caliber. I mean, Carlton Davis is one of the best cornerbacks in the league that doesn't get any recognition. You know, he's shut down last year twice. He shut down Devontae Adams. He shut down Tyreek Hill. He shut down. A multitude of players. I mean, you wanted DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones when he was actually Julio Jones, not this weird shell of himself that calls himself Julio Jones. Like, he shut them all down, and he's still not getting the recognition he deserves. So, I mean, I love Carlton Davis on Odell Beckham Jr. all game. Go ahead, try it. I think Carlton's going to get the most of that. Not saying OBJ is not going to get any, you know, any production, but I think that's going to be a huge thing. And also, I mean, I hear what you're saying about running the ball, but I mean, let's be real here. The Rams have not run the ball well or at all, really, against the Bucs. I mean, you go back to the 2019 game, they had only 28 yards of rushing in 2018. 2019, you go back into last year's game, they had under 40 yards, and this year's game, they had 76 yards. So they have not been able to do anything, and that's the highest output on the ground. Now, passing is a completely different story. You want to talk about passing yards. You know, under Sean McVay, they're averaging 399 yards a game. I mean, you're looking at 490 in 2019, 376 in 2020, another 407 this year. I mean, they're able to pass the ball at an incredible clip. And that's one thing that the Bucs are going to have to really buckle down on. And I think that's a way that the Rams will be able to end up, you know, winning this game. But that also starts with going to Todd Bowles, who has not been able to figure out McVay. Now, maybe he can this time around. I mean, he's had success doing it last year. You know, obviously the Saints swept, and then they beat him in the divisional round, and then they lost to the Chiefs, and then came up with a game plan of his life against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But, you know, he's so blitz happy, blitzing on 41% of their defensive snaps this season. You know, by far the most of any team. He didn't blitz as much, you know, in that week three contest. But when he did, Stafford still shredded him. I mean, he went 8-for-10 for 81 yards and a touchdown. One of those two incompletions was a drop. And, you know, they only sacked him once. So, I mean, you look at those numbers, it's not very pretty. So, you know, you got one sack, an incompletion, and the other eight, you know, three went. So it's going to be difficult for, I think it's going to be difficult for the Rams to get the running game going. They'll have to use Cam Akers out of the backfield, who looked really good, had that 40-yard ball that he dropped up down the sideline. But they're going to have to use the passing game more as an extension of the running game, because that's one place the Bucs have struggled is tackling, you know, the backs underneath and screens and stuff like that. It just seems like they give up so much yards every time. They're just not in the right position to make the play. So, I mean, with Cam Akers, if that Achilles is feeling good and he can, you know, get moving, there's chances that they can get some, you know, 6-7 yard gains on those routes, you know, consistently against the Bucs.
Mike, Jace, I'm definitely going to agree with you on, I believe what it's going to take for the Rams to pull off a win, and they are going to have to somehow get the running game going. Without any type of running game, yes, I feel Todd Bowles is going to have an answer for the Cooper Kupp situation. And if your corner is as tight as you said, and I love that for someone who's able to see a guy who may not be getting the recognition. So thank you for sharing that with our audience. Because when you're on different coasts and different things, and then some guys just don't get the notoriety that they have earned or deserved. So I'm going to definitely now be looking at the matchup and see, you know, how well this guy's covering guys and shutting them down. But I definitely agree that the Rams are going to need to have some type of running game if they're going to have a chance, because if you just start relying on the whole pass and they are able to take away, you know, Cooper Kupp and some of the things he's able to do, and now you're left with maybe OBJ or Higby or you know, Jefferson somewhere. And, you know, I love Van Jefferson, but the more I'm looking at him, he seems to be a guy who catches with his body and not his hands, which I'm like, okay, receiver, you need to be able to catch with your hands. But anyway, yeah, man, I'm excited to see this game and just see the chess match that I anticipate that's going to happen between the coaches, between the players, and, you know, all those good things.
I will say one thing, too, is this Buccaneers defense has not been together on the field as a whole unit the way it was drawn up once this season. Not once this season. In fact, the secondary has still yet to play a complete game together. They got one guy back. He went out earlier in the next game. They got another guy back. He went out earlier in the next game. So Sean Murphy Bunting is working his way. He was a limited practice, working his way back. If he can go, you're looking at the Bucks having their complete defense on the field for the first time all season in this divisional game, which is going to be huge. And you know, Carlton Davis isn't the only one back there. This Bucks secondary is extremely, extremely underrated. Antoine Winfield gets some love, not as much as he deserves nationally. He made the PFF first team safety for a good reason. He's just an incredible athlete. You want to see a crazy reel, go back to that Colts game where he made a play on Michael Pittman, who's a freaking monster. And just his versatility, just the perfect way to describe it. So Sean Murphy Bunting was a game time decision. You know, realized he couldn't go right before the game. They went to Antoine Winfield Jr. and said, hey, you're going to play the slot cornerback position. They only played 9 snaps most in the game, played a season-high, career-high, 26 snaps in the slot, and was just dynamic out there. Mike Edwards, who's their third reserve safety, big nickel safety, he's an amazing ball hawk. Obviously got that crazy interception. I'm sure you saw the highlights on Jalen Hurts in the end zone. He's made a bunch of those this year. He's a guy's a ball hawk. Jordan Whitehead, the heart and soul of that secondary. He's an amazing run defender. And he's just a great leader back there. He's going to get some more recognition. And then Jamel Dean, who struggled mightily, you know, the last couple of years, has really came around. It was actually Pro Football Focus. He was a top 10 cornerback. I think he finished 7 overall in coverage this season, and really is starting to put together an amazing, amazing a run so far that, you know, when he's been healthy. And he'll probably be matched up on Van Jefferson, I suppose, just because of the speed factor. And he's a guy to watch because he's going to be able to do some things against him and limit him as well. So I just want to give those guys their flowers. And I mean, I know as a defensive back, you're always looking at guys. So watch the way these guys play. I think they're going to impress you this week.
All right. Hey, real quick. It's time. Predictions. Here we go. Ready to make one, JC? Or?
You know, I'm still. I reserve the right to change my score, but I feel comfortable about the range that it's going to be in.
Go for it.
All right. So, obviously, playing at home, I think, is an advantage. We talked about that. I think getting your defense back is an advantage. If you guys are looking for a really interesting article that John Leddy over here at Pewter Report wrote at pewterreport.com, he kind of detailed the game plan to beat the Rams this week, and it's really detailed and put together, lots of statistical facts to back it up. And looking at this matchup, I think the Bucks have a really good opportunity to go out there and win this game at home. It's going to take their best football game of the season. That's a fact. I think if they advance and have to go to Lambeau or the Super Bowl, I think it's going to take a better game this week that it's going to take to advance to the next level or to win the Super Bowl, because I think that's how good this Rams team is. Like I said, I think they're probably one of the most talented teams in the league on both sides of the ball. So it's going to be a challenge. At the end of the day, long-winded answer short, because that's what I do. I'm going to go with the Bucks winning, moving on to the NFC Championship, probably, let's say, 28-23, somewhere around there. Somewhere in that mid to low 20s, I think that's how it ends up.
Mike, what call are you making?
My call, if the Rams are going to win, they're going to have to limit the Bucks to no more than 21 points, and they're going to have to score 24.
So 24-21.
So, yep.
All right, so
moment of truth.
Oh boy!
On a drum roll.
The over under is 40, I think. Last I checked, according to CBS Sports, the thing that actually concerns me is what Brady does in flash of a pan, bam, bam, gone, hand out, ball out of his hands in 2 seconds. The Rams have been creating more pressure. They're, I think, third in the league in sacks with 50. They create all kinds of pressure last week, even though they only had 2 sacks with Kyler Murray. The fact that he gets a ball out so quickly has me concerned. The fact that he still can get you death through 1,000 paper cuts, get you all the short Because the one, the Rams' weakness offensively is going to be those short passing, the short stuff, the dink and dunk, the same way the Patriots beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, the dink and dunk stuff. Be a higher scoring game, but that matchup is not to the Rams' benefit. And that's what I'm sitting in the back of my head. So it comes down to, can the Rams get to him in time? And that's where I'm like, oh gosh. Even now, I'm just like, oh gosh. Because the 50 sacks themselves are not indicative of the inconsistency up front they've had. At home, I know you're like, just say it. You know?
Come on.
I know, right? I know.
We've got cookies over here.
We got cookies.
We're sitting on the oven.
I am going to go with the Von Miller effect here. I think they will get to him. I'm going to go Rams 27-24. They've been living and dying by the close games from much of the lab back end of the year, so we know it's going to be close. It wouldn't shock me if it went the other way, but I can't turn on the home.
I don't blame you. Squad. I mean, you get roasted alive, right? You probably get roasted alive.
Oh, you know, people expect us to be honest on our show. You know, we're going to call it what it is, but I just look at it as I've been watching the Von Miller effect these last few weeks, and that's where they've made a difference with him back to, in the backfield. So I think,
you know, it's really one of these games where it's such a toss up because there's different pieces that both teams have added or both teams have that could really sway this game. Von Miller for them, and then a full healthy game of Gronkowski for the Bucks. I think, you know, both of those two assets that these teams have, and that there's really, you know, especially if the Bucks are without their all-pro right tackle, there's really not many answers for him. And if he can't go, then it kind of takes Gronk out of it if he's got to stay in and block. So yeah, I mean, it's a tough game to predict, and that's why I think it's the best. It's going to be the best game of the week. I really do. I mean, there's some good matchups. Bills Chiefs look good. Obviously, you know, Packers 49ers. The 49ers have had some success out there. That looks good. You know, Titans, whatever. I mean, yeah. I mean, that game doesn't seem great. Titans Bengals. But you know, it should still be a fun game. I think this is going to be a great divisional round. I'm excited for all these games.
I mean, I am too. And the wild card round itself, in my view, was blah. So. Yeah. It wasn't fun. I mean, they didn't see a whole lot of interesting football last weekend, so this weekend will be a big difference. Mike, any closing thoughts before we get out of here? We're going to close up shop here.
Man, again, thanks for coming on, JC, man. Some good stuff coming out there from Tampa Bay, and I definitely agree that this is, to me, is going to be one of the funner games to watch. So get your popcorn, get your blankets if you're in cold weather. Get your hot chocolate or whatever you get. Get your barbecue and sit down and don't leave, because a lot of things are going to happen.
All right. JC, well, thank you for coming on the show. Hopefully we'll talk to you again in the offseason when we do our tour around the league. For everybody else, follow us on Twitter, Talk Rams, Facebook, the Facebook room, the Facebook group, Rams Talk Room, or our page, Talk Rams, Rams Talk. And in the meantime, we're out of here. Have a great one.
Have a great one.